This is the Healthy Worship Team podcast, and I'm your host, Julie Engler. If you're a worship leader who's ready to get to the next level, whether it's to help your team thrive as your church grows, become a stronger leader yourself, or to add more creativity to what you do, you're in the right place. I've spent the last 20 years leading worship, and I want to share with you the best of what I've learned. I know you've got the talent. I know you've got the calling. Now let's talk about everything else. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy Worship Team. Like I said, my name's Julie, and I'm your host. I'm super excited to be here with you today. Last episode, we finished up a series called Spring Cleaning. We went through your stuff, your song database, and we went through your tech stack, all your tools that you have. I just want to remind you, just to recap that series, simple is always better, especially when you're leading multiple people. You want your systems, you want what you expect of your team to be easy for them to understand and to carry with them as they go about their life as a volunteer on your worship team. If the systems, if the technology, if it's all too complicated, then they just won't use it and they won't utilize what you're trying to help them with. So that's just a quick reminder. If you haven't done it, take the time and do it. Find a day that you don't have anything urgent and spend some time going through your stuff. Also, and this is going to lead into not this episode, but the next one. If it's something that you have a really, really hard time with, get help and get somebody who's good at it to help you organize that stuff. Okay, so today I want to talk to you guys about rebuilding the team, what it takes to rebuild the team, what that means for you, and how to prepare yourself to do that. As you're listening and I'm sharing some of the big items of how to build a healthy worship team, it's inevitable that there are things that need to be rebuilt for one reason or another. Maybe there's been some type of breakdown in an area, something that you can pinpoint. This is why this part is broken. Maybe it's the same kind of principle as spring cleaning. Things get old, things break down over time. And so one of the mindsets that we want to have is that we evaluate our team. We evaluate the different sections of our team. We evaluate the people in our team. We evaluate the serving, how we set up our how we expect them to serve, how much they serve, when they serve and how. We look at our onboarding process. We look at our routines and our rhythms, and many people would say our systems and processes. We want to look at those things and evaluate them. We want them to feel fresh. We want them to feel useful and relevant for the team today. If you haven't made any large changes in how you lead your worship team and how you equip your worship team since 2020, you are past due. You need to take some time and reevaluate. It's worth it to evaluate every single area of your team in order to find something to improve. And once again, we don't improve because we come from a place of we're already behind the eight ball, we're failing, we're not good enough. No, we are children of God. We are loved by God. We are equipping and building the church. And there is good and exciting things ahead in the future. And we have everything we need in order to step into that future. We are going to be good stewards of our team, of our resources, of the people that God's entrusted us with. And we're going to keep cultivating that team. Farmers don't leave their stuff and think, well, you know, I shouldn't have to keep weeding, and I shouldn't have to keep hoeing the rows and taking out the obstacles. They don't get frustrated because every season things need to be turned over again. They understand that season by season things get hard, they get dry, they lose nutrients. They need things to be turned over. There needs to be nutrients put in. There needs to be new seeds coming in if they want to continue to see harvest. And so that's our attitude toward the team. So there are things that need to be rebuilt, things that need to be mended. Sometimes something does happen that is abrupt or unexpected or a huge breach that causes a breaking. whether it's something that happens with a person, you lose someone, someone leaves quickly, something disheartening happens relationally or spiritually in your church. All of those things are real issues, and all of them can be navigated. All of them can be moved forward from, but it's important to understand if something like that has happened, if you don't acknowledge it and you don't deal with it, it will continue to follow you into your next seasons. You'll be like, I don't understand why things aren't going well. Well, somebody, you know, some type of scandal happened and we just brushed it under the rug and they left and we never talked about it. And there's still issues in the team. Like that, you have to be able to deal with some of those issues. So we're talking about rebuilding the team. And I want to give you a couple mental pictures. This is really about wrapping your mind around what it's really going to take and asking the Lord for wisdom. Every time I've hit a new level of responsibility or strategy or kind of mission for our worship team, I have always hit a point where I'm like, this is way beyond my capabilities. Like I do not have what it takes to figure, I see what needs to happen, or I even know how it needs to happen. And I still am like, I am absolutely underwater in this one. Like there's no way I can do this on my own. And that feeling is the exact correct feeling that you should have. You should not feel capable of using your own strength to build God's church. You should not. And I'm sure that this probably plays in many other areas too. I'm a mom as well, and a wife. And there are many times that I'm like, this is beyond my skill set. So it's not just for the act of like being in ministry, but I want you to think about your role as a leader and the overwhelm that you feel when you recognize, wow, something big needs to change. And I can see that it needs to change, and I know I'm responsible to make it change, and I feel way in over my head. Congratulations, you are in the exact right spot. And the spot is you understand that you have limitations. The next step is to understand that you have everything you need with the Holy Spirit to walk, but you will have to walk this journey humbly. You cannot ever lie to yourself or have like the power of positive thinking type thing where all you're doing is telling yourself, you're amazing, you're so good, you can do this, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it takes full reliance on the Holy Spirit and His Word to be able to walk this road. So we're looking at rebuilding the team, and I want you to think about it like if your church is a battleship or a large ship on the water, or your worship team is a ship on the water, and there are broken parts. Maybe there's more than one. Maybe everything needs to change. Maybe there's a leak. Maybe there's an engine problem. And also the paint needs to be repainted and redecorated on the inside. Okay, in my mind, we're in a cruise ship now. It's not just like a, you know, it's not like a fishing boat, because we need it to be decorated good too. So we've got all these things that need to happen, right? Like we have to take the time. All these things need to be improved. But if you try to do everything at once, if you try to replace the siding on the side of the boat and you try to fix the engine and you take the sails down, this is so bad. My metaphor is breaking down all the way. If you try to do all of that at the same time, you'll end up sinking the boat. So you're going to have to do triage on your team to figure out what's the most important thing first. Every single step of this can be done. Number one, by asking for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, from using what the Lord is showing you in the Word. There are amazing patterns in Scripture of how to handle some of these complex problems. And number three, by asking for outside help. But here's what you're going to do. So you're looking at your team, you're thinking a lot of things need to be rebuilt. Number one, you're going to have to challenge yourself and your mentality. Do not allow yourself to get overwhelmed. Write some things down. We're going to take this one step at a time. We're going to take this one section at a time. And when you can remind yourself of that in those moments, that can help you, give you the courage that you need to say, okay, I know we gotta fix this whole entire thing, but right now we're going to focus on this one part. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to identify all the problems. And that's the part where you really have to be like, okay, deep breath. Like, I'm just going to list it all out there, right? You can say, okay, we've got I've got a team member who is for some reason is feeling like they are angry or they don't like me or they're not responding well to things. They seem hurt or upset in some way. I've got, I have congregants who are telling me that they don't like the music that we're doing. I have, I'm trying to come up with ideas to talk to my senior pastor about, and it feels like nothing's connecting and nobody wants to join my worship team. And I've got young people who are on this team who it seems like they have ego problems and they don't seem like they're have a servant's heart as a worship team member. That's a lot of problems, right? You throw them out down on a paper and write them all. They don't have to be in any specific order, but write them all down and just lay it out there. Okay. Now, once again, we're going to avoid the temptation to fall apart at the seams, to receive a whole lot of shame, or a whole lot of condemnation from the enemy. And, we're also going to resist the urge to try to fix this all in our own strength and also to blame all the people around you. Like, all of those are pitfalls. Okay, we're just going to look at it. We're going to look at it. It's going to sit there and it's going to be there, that list of stuff that needs to change. And then what we're going to do is we're going to figure out what is the number one first thing that needs to happen. And honestly, if that's as far as you can get, you're like, I can only choose one thing at a time. I can't even put the whole list in order. I'm just going to choose the first thing to tackle. Then go ahead, just choose the first thing to tackle. And then we go right back to the Lord and we just take it to God and we say, okay, here's the issue. Just a side note, you can try to become like, you can use all of your intellectual faculties to try to become an expert at something in order to feel like you can attack this whole process and whole thing. You can do that. You can stop and go away and try to learn a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not saying you shouldn't be learning. I'm saying you probably already have been. It's time for you to learn practically and to practice what you already know. Like more than likely already have enough practical tools. And sometimes going away to a classroom is, I'm going to say this, this is true for myself. Sometimes it's easier to go to a classroom than it is to go deal with the important issue right in front of you. So if I look at this list of things and I've got this one person, this one person who like really intimidates me and it feels like there's just something between us or nothing I'm saying, they're not receiving it well. I've got all these, nobody's joining the team, all this stuff. I'm going to look at that list and I'm going to choose what's the most important thing. And normally it's the thing that scares you the most. And I'm going to tell you, it's probably that one person. So we're going to take it to the Lord. We're going to stop and we're going to spend some time praying for that person. And we're going to let the Lord deal with our heart. Because if there's something between you and that person, there's probably something in your heart that needs to shift as well. And as it does, as you submit your heart to the Lord, because what do we do as leaders? We know exactly what they need to do. We know exactly where they need to surrender, or we think we do. What do we do as leaders? We do not require people to do something that we're not willing to do first. So if we know that there's some softening that needs to happen, some humility or some forgiveness, guess who gets to go first? Always you. Always you. You always get to go first. You always get to go through the process of surrendering yourself to the Lord, submitting the issue to God, forgiving whatever you need to forgive, giving grace wherever you need to give grace in order to move forward to the next step, which is reaching out to them and connecting. So this episode's not really how to do that. We can talk more about that later. But what I'm trying to help you see is that when you look at rebuilding the team, the most critical thing is whatever is causing a huge leak. What's going to cause the atmosphere of the team to break down even further, faster? You want to deal with those things first. This is leadership 101. We got to deal with the critical things first, and it takes so much bravery to do it. And know that just because the paint needs to be fixed and things need to be redecorated. Okay, let's like draw the line of like, what is that for the metaphor of the worship team? Stuff like new songs or, new equipment to make things look better or sound better or that kind of stuff. Yes, probably that needs to be updated, but way more important are the critical things that have to do with the atmosphere of the team, the ability for the team to work together and to move forward together. So we're going to prioritize that. We're going to take one thing at a time, one section at a time, and you're going to need all the help that you can get, which means you cannot, you're going to have to resist the urge. Some leaders really do struggle with this, like trusting people around you and just depending on what your personality type is and what your specific leaning is. If you struggle with being self-reliant, you're going to have a hard time with this, because once again, this is about really understanding, having self-awareness and understanding that you are a limited person and you cannot carry this weight on your own. You need to go to the Lord and you need to have people who you trust, who you love, who are carrying this weight with you. That doesn't mean they're doing the hard work for you. It means they know what you're going through. They're encouraging you. And also you need to build, there will be people on your team that are willing to join the cause of rebuilding. Look for those people. Look for the people who you don't have to convince that we need to move forward. Find them and confide in them. Rely on them. Ask them for help. Ask them to join you in what you're doing. That's a huge benefit. The stakes are really high. The thing is, when you got a boat and there's a leak and there's an engine problem and all this stuff, the stakes are really high. If you don't deal with some of these issues, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you don't deal with the things that are broken, your boat will eventually sink. Like you're going to have to deal with these things. And so it's worth it to take the time to do the hard work and prepare your heart and your mind in order to do those things. I want to finish this episode with a scripture from Nehemiah. I was reading the story. My pastor today was talking about the power of nobodies, which is really cool. And he was breaking down some scriptures a little bit later on in the story about how they set people in the low places of the wall to rebuild the wall, and they put them in families, which is really powerful to hear and think about. But I wanted to rewind all the way back to the beginning. In chapter 1, Nehemiah, he gets news from someone that said, those who survived, that he's like, how's everybody doing in Jerusalem? And he said, the person that came said, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah is just like heartbroken. Now, first of all, what would have happened if his friend that came had been like, everything is great. Everything is amazing. Jerusalem is awesome. They're doing so good. I'm so proud of them. They're just really happy and safe and protected. That friend had to tell the truth. They had to give a truthful statement about the state of what Jerusalem was in. And it was heartbreaking and devastating to Nehemiah. And also, it was the only way forward. It was the only way for Nehemiah to be able to step into the part of his life that defined their generation and it told a story and wrote a part of the story of Israel that was put into the Bible. If somebody hadn't told him that, he wouldn't have been able to come and do what he did, which was to help rebuild the wall. But Nehemiah's response was so important. He wept, he cried, and he recognized the devastation that had happened. And then he prayed. He stopped and he went straight to God. This is acknowledging your limitations. He did not have the power or the ability to do what he did next without the Lord's help. He prayed and he said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eye open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. And then he said, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you, and we've not obeyed the commands, the decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And he said, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. He stopped and he acknowledged what was broken. He also acknowledged their part in what was broken. And when we recognize that something is broken down, whether it's because of something that we've done or something that we've allowed to happen, or things just need to be rebuilt, that acknowledgement of that things need to be rebuilt, it feels almost impossible to admit because of our pride, because it admits our shortcoming and admits the fact that we haven't been able to keep things up, or we haven't been able to protect and to do those things. It confronts our own shortcomings, and it unlocks the power of the grace of God in our life to move forward. When you recognize that there's something that needs to change, some things are not, he's like acknowledging sin here. Let's talk about things that need to be refreshed. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you've done anything wrong, but here's the thing. If you stop and you look at something that needs to be addressed and you recognize that it does need to be addressed and you don't address it, that's when you fall into a situation where you are missing the mark with your leadership. And so recognizing there's old patterns that need to change, how I've been leading, how I've been communicating, how I've been bringing people on the team. Once we recognize that there's a better way, that's when it's time for us to take responsibility. But you don't have to do it on your own. You do it by the grace and the strength of the Lord. The last thing he said in this prayer was, he's speaking about his people. So he's not just, he's acknowledging the brokenness, he's acknowledging their part, and then he's reminding himself and the Lord about the people that matter. He said, "They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. He asked for what he needed from the Lord, and not to spoil the story, but the Lord gave him everything he needed, strength, wisdom, favor." It's a pretty incredible story. We might break some more of it down later, but I just want to encourage you. You're doing hard work. You're doing important work. Don't resist the hardness of it. Just lean into it. You've totally got this. Don't be afraid. Be humble and move forward in the grace of the Lord. Okay, that's what I've got for you today. I want to thank you so much for listening. I love you guys. You've totally got what it takes to lead your team. You've totally got what it takes to see what needs to change and to address it. You can do this. If you are enjoying what you're hearing and you want more of it, I would love it if you would like, follow, subscribe wherever you're streaming. I have an Instagram, The Healthy Worship Team, that you can follow. And you can email me at thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com if you have any questions or you want to hear me talk about something specific. I actually have a question that I'm going to be answering on my next episode. So stay tuned for that. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you soon.